Okay.
We can take 2I separately, please.
All right.
Okay.
Everybody agrees to that, so we'll vote on those first.
Thank you.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? All right. On the Mr. Robbins.
If somebody would separately move for approval of item 2I.
Okay. Mr. Schick?
I move so.
All right. Second to that. Mr. Second. Holland? Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Carried. All right. We will need an executive session, but our closed session rather, but not at the moment. I'd like to get some of these cases moving first. Item 4, Boy Scouts of America. Chip.
In the issue of time, we presented this last month, and the commission continued it to this meeting to provide the applicant and to work with our staff here in an opportunity to explore alternative designs. We did meet. I can go through the PowerPoint, or I can just kind of explain where it stands right now. I do know that the applicants have a PowerPoint that they'd like to present that would show additional pictures. It's up to y'all.
We've been through this before last month, and I don't see any reason to rehearse it again. That's Commissioner Quest.
Okay.
All right. So
essentially, we met back on January 11th. The applicants have agreed to they've reevaluated their needs for the length, and they've reduced the length from 1,190 feet channeled of high water to just over 1,000 feet. It's 1,034 feet. And then they also, we discussed adding an additional piling for each floating pier section. So there'd be a minimum of 3 piles per floating pier section. The rationale behind that is that we felt that the weakest point in the whole structure is going to be those joints between the floating piers, and our hope is that if those joints break between the 3 piles that are remaining there, that the pilings might stay in place rather than float off and damage other structures up and down the river. The pilings themselves are 10 to 12 inch diameter concrete filled PVC piles that will extend to a height of 12 feet above mean high water, so that should accommodate any storm surges. I would like to read our revised summary and recommendation. The applicant has been, although the applicant has been very willing to work with staff in an attempt to address our concerns, we remain of the opinion that the proposed site is just not appropriate for the construction of a long pier to accommodate deep draft sailboats. Although a long pier at this location would not interfere with traffic navigating up and down the Rappahannock River, it would interfere with small boats and associated nearshore activities, forcing those activities further offshore in the vicinity of the pier. The site is also very exposed with a 3.5-mile northeast fetch. Although the applicant has reduced the length of the proposed pier to a total length of 1,034 feet and has added additional pilings in the pier design, we remain concerned with the ability of the long pier and moored vessels to withstand the waves they will be exposed to during storm events. Accordingly, we are unable to recommend approval of the project as proposed. Should the commission decide to approve all or some portion of the project, however, we would recommend the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $1 per square foot for any additional encroachment over state-owned submerged lands. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Chip? I have one question, Chip. How far are we above the Norris Bridge, roughly, in water miles?
I couldn't tell you right off. I'm guessing
above Urbana.
It's above Urbana. It's right to the Essex Middlesex County line.
Okay, that's good enough.
Butolo Wharf is in some of those pictures, just north of there.
Thank you.
8 miles above Urbana, the applicant. That's it.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions. If I may, Chip, you indicated that they've shortened the length of the pier somewhat.
Yes, sir.
And that they've agreed to put in some additional pilings.
Yes, sir.
And that was on your request, I guess, over the concerns of structural.
Yes, they essentially came to us, saying, "What is it, that right. that you need to make this thing strong enough to where you'd be able to recommend approval for it. And we essentially said that the location is the problem with it, you know, just the exposed location. They have been willing to do, you know, anything they can. It's just that such an exposed location we don't feel is the proper location for more.
Anyone else?
I got one further question. Chip, in that area up there, in your visits, have you observed many canoes or kayaks?
No, I've not. There is a small subdivision adjacent and downstream of the Scouts. Upstream is a very high bluff, and there's very little waterfront activity that occurs between the Boy Scouts and the that Butelow Wharf up there at the Essex Middlesex line.
Is Mr. Fox?
What is the fetch in length, and what is the direction?
Northeast, 3.5 miles or more. Also north, and mainly north and northeast.
North and northeast. Mm-hmm. And what wind speeds have been experienced there? I know at my house last Saturday it was 53 miles an hour.
I don't know specifically what they got during Isabel, but I would expect in just this, you know, this past weekend storms that they were probably upwards of you know, 40, 50 range.
Anyone else? Chip, is that in that cove there?
Yes, sir. It's in that large embayment called McCann's Bay.
Is that where Ferguson's place is?
Yes.
Well, then, seems to me, then, to follow up on Mr. Fox's point, you've got some shelter in that cove. It's not like being on the Waterview waterfront, Waterview, town of Waterview.
Uh-huh. It's not very protected. It's an embayment, but it's such a wide embayment that it's still very exposed. Now, it is shallow inshore for quite a while, which is the need for the long pier.
I kind of hate to debate somebody that would take on the Boy Scouts, but
I have.
Especially with a 7-year-old son.
I had to do that, and you gave me the opportunity. But I have rockfished up in there, mm-hmm. or not really fished, just pulled the line to the water.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay,
any other questions? All right. Anyone in the is the applicant represented? You're gonna address the commission? Okay. How many speakers do you have?
Mr. Pruitt, I'm Dick Collins. I'm the executive director for the Boy Scouts, and I have two gentlemen with me that may respond to technical questions, Jason Miles from Bay Design and Joe Ellis, but I'm going to make the presentation based on PowerPoint.
Let me swear all three of you in, and so we'll be ready in case we need to save some time. Do you swear the testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you God? Thank you. You have already stated your name, so tell us what's on your mind.
Mr. Pruitt, members of the commission, we greatly...
Excuse me, Mr. Commissioner.
Yeah.
Could you ask the gentleman to be brief, we've had this last month, like Chip?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I will go through it, and y'all speed me up if you need to. I understand dramatically. Okay. We've got a PowerPoint that I'll draw your attention to, but I'll try to quickly go through it. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We want to address the staff's concerns, and the members of the staff's concerns were the length of the pier, the exposed location of the pier, the health department approval, and the interference with the nearshore activity. In order for us to be able to accomplish that, we're going to briefly go through our program, very briefly. We'll move on and talk about specifically the length of the pier. Real quickly, I'd like to point out to you that this is the pier that we currently have, and we're looking to extend it to this area. You'll notice that there's a pier location here that's on the current chart. That pier is not complete and not there at this time, but in essence, there's a precedent where there was a pier. We really just want to go to that same exact length that a pier has previously been located in that situation. One of the key reasons that we're really looking for that pier length is to have our boats there and to have our youngsters that are in this program, for lack of a better way, to get their initial sea legs, to be able to get used to the water setting and the health and safety issues related to that. As you go on with this length of the pier, we've always talked to all of our neighbors. There are no concerns. Nothing's been stressed there from that process. And this is the existing pier. And what I would point out to you is that this is a very strong section right here that's in excellent shape. There's a place to do motorboating and downloading of those issues. This is the other existing pier. And our request and recommendation is that we're going to tear that down and start directly here and go with the floating dock situation. In essence, again, working with the staff, we figured out the exact amount of footage that we needed to have the depth, and we're reducing our request by 116 feet. This length also is going to give us a better chance to control the environment and the safety related to that. As you can see from the drawing that we also have drawings available if you guys have gotten them. I know they're good to you this morning. But basically, this is the 930 feet that will be added on in a floating dock situation. This also allows us to have good control of the program area, and including relating to kayaking and canoeing and rowboating. If you think of that pier extension and to the left, it was described that there's a 1,000-foot embankment there. That area right out from that is a great place for us to teach the basics of canoeing, kayaking, and sailing, and controlling the environment so that they don't go downstream from that particular situation. In those regards, talking about the length of the pier and the existing situation, again, way down here, is what we're looking at trying to accomplish. From here to the channel is 1.3 miles. And if you look at it from a standpoint of distance, it's really important but not important from the standpoint of the flow of the traffic of the waterways. The other issue is if you look around Joins Point here, if canoers and kayakers and small boat sailors are going to come down through there, chances are they're not going to try to come all the way around and go like this. They're going to probably go right across the situation, which would be way far out from where we're located. And in essence, that 1,000-foot embankment doesn't draw a whole lot of attention. There's not a whole lot of folks that are going to want to come over and just see that particular area. In relation to that,
look at the wave action.
Well, you can see the wave action. The issue there that we were looking at along those lines is how does that play into it? One of the critical pieces was the around the will the pilings. This is the type of what they call a shock absorber that's going to be around there and they'll be placed around. These things are designed so that they do give and give out. I say that I can't twist it or turn it, but I understand that the way it's designed, it will, and it'll be able to bring forward and be able to control that. Again, looking at what Mr. Nykirk was recommending of, if one of them breaks, how are we going to be able to contain it with the three pilings, which is the addition he's requested, and that shock absorber, we believe that they'll have a better chance of that. Related to the fetch, Mr. Fox, and I know this chart's a little hard to read, but if you even look at 3 or 4, and then you go down, say, to the 45, you're real quickly going to see that it's about 3, 3.5, somewhere in that range related to that issue. The waves in that area, and talking to the neighbors, that 40 to 45, 50 is apparently the severe storm situation, so it still falls within that process. You know, one of the concerns is that related to the quality of the pier and the extension, a lot of those piers that broke during the storms, Isabel, et cetera, were wooden docks that did float and did break apart. In this particular situation, the companies that we've talked with says there is going to be less debris and less cleanup from these situations. One thing I'll draw your attention to in this hoop situation, and as they recommended related to the pilings, as you can see around here with the hoop and then those shock absorber situations, this is a picture after Hurricanes Katrina and Wilma. So you can see how that looks pretty good shape, to be frank with you, from that process after that situation. As far as, again, the fetch and the northeast winds, and sorry, my eyes aren't that great when you walk over here. You can see basically the northeast fetch and the northeast winds from that area. I again echo what the staff has said. You got the bluff there. But if you look straight across into the area directly across where those winds are going to be coming from, there is the typical northern terrain that's in that area, and I think that will dramatically reduce and limit that. They're going to have to come down through and come around on the winds to be able to make the extreme significance that you discussed in that process. We also were asked to address related what our hurricane plan is. Our national organization of Boy Scouts is very specific. We've got to control these environments, make sure they're safe for everybody involved in the process. We already have a plan in place to remove the boats to our banner where they will be hauled out in that process. We have already talked to the health department and have gotten both their written and verbal approval of the plan in that process. As far as the interference with the near shore activities, very frankly, there's probably not that much. The existing activity that was there was probably from the campground that we purchased. And again, that was an open public campground. We're a private entity from that standpoint. So a lot of that traffic is gone. To our immediate left, there really are no neighbors. There's one neighbor that crosses our property. The rest of that is that bluff all the way up past Jones Point in that process. So we believe the only interference, very frankly, is going to be ourselves from that standpoint. And again, we've talked to the neighboring property owners. There are no problems or issues from that standpoint. Now, real quickly, what we're doing is that we're using the boating program, just like in scouting, you typically think of a camping program to teach character and citizenship and leadership. We do it with boats. We do it on the water. It's a methodology to be able to reach the program. A lot of these kids will be the first time that they get a chance to be able to be on the water and experience this process. Along those lines, we need to be able to get safely in and out, provide the equipment, provide the materials, and the floating dock will allow us to do that. Back up one. The critical issue here, too, is that this is the program area we're talking about, and this site plan was done before we placed the pier location, so don't worry about that. It slips. But as what I want to point out to you is, folks, this is an entire campus. This is a scout reservation. We'll be having a Cub Scout camp, a Boy Scout camp, a high adventure base for the sailing and canoeing water program. The Boy Scouting and Cub Scouting programs will be in this part of the property, high adventure issues here. So it's a program where over 300 kids every week, every summer, will come through this to be able to get a chance to participate in. And those 300 kids are from all socioeconomic backgrounds. Some, this will be their only opportunity to be able to really see the water and get that opportunity to experience it. As far as we mentioned, the canoeing and kayaking programs and keeping that, you know, with these younger kids in particular, we want to have a controlled environment. Going to a public situation is not that great because, bluntly, we're trying to control everything from the alcohol, tobacco, et cetera, in that process. So it's a critical issue for us in that issue. Okay. In summary, the length of our pier has been reduced to what is absolutely necessary to operate a safe program and provide our water depth. And based on the Virginia Marine Resource Commission staff recommendations, we increased the number of pilings to 3 per section. In that process, we also have gotten a recommendation from the Coast Guard that asked us to place a light at the end of the pier, and we will do that. Now, because of our strong belief that the above recommendations will add to the value and quality of the program, we've committed an additional $75,000 to the project. We want this thing to work, and we want it to last, and we want it to be safe. And very frankly, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for the opportunity and be glad to address your questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission?
Yes, Mr. Garrison.
Can you give us the dates the camp will be open?
Yes, sir. The camp will be a year-round camp, but the summer season will be the specific heavy part of the season, and it'll basically run from about the middle of June until about the middle of August.
At that point in time, say after the middle of August, would you take your bigger boats back to Urbana at that point in time?
It will vary from season to season based on the needs of repairs and improvements that need to be made in the process.
But will the boats leave in the wintertime and be in storage?
Not on a regular basis unless there's a need from a standpoint of safety. We have a full-time staff person who lives on site and will be helping us to make those decisions as the weather forecasts indicate.
Mr. Schick?
As far as in case of hurricane, your insurance, have you checked into making sure that it has sufficient for cleanup and demolition of damaged dock? And
yes, sir, we do. And again, part of a national organization, we're part of the Boy Scouts of America's insurance plan, and it's sufficient to be able to take care of those issues.
So damage to adjoining docks would be covered under your insurance?
Not sure on that specific issue. Damage cleanup in our area would be. I would be glad more than check on that and find out what the opportunities are. Okay, yes.
My
treasurer is also with me from our board, and he said yes, that is correct, that our general liability would cover that.
All right. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Collins, you indicated in your presentation that you were committing an additional $75,000 to the project.
Yes, sir.
Is that cost specifically associated with the additional pilings?
Yes, sir. And the improvements that they've asked us to make and related to the lighting and all those issues.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Fox.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question to staff?
Sure.
At this moment?
All right. Chip?
Are you comfortable, Chip, that the local traffic, you've got a pier that's going to be a fifth of a mile long, and so somebody coming along in a kayak encountering the pier has got to go two-fifths of a mile to get to the other side. Are you comfortable that they don't need to put a hump or something in the pier to let kayaks pass under? Or?
Hadn't really thought about that. I mean, there, as they mentioned, there's not a whole lot of activity up there, but you know, who knows what you know what might come in. But it would force that. You know, that was one of our concerns, that would force that activity further offshore. I don't know if the existing pier, if there's any way that, you know, the beginning of, they might at the very beginning of it be able to do something like that. That would be in an area that was maybe 150 feet or so offshore and very shallow, but, you know, if it was a kayak or canoe, they might be able to do something along those lines.
Mr. Fox, may I address that?
Sure.
And Mr. Pruitt, may I just hand these out if there's three or four of these that may help you all in looking at that more specifically. If you look specifically at the area that I was talking about with the waterway, two things for your consideration. One is that there's already a pier that's 500 feet. So people are already used to having to deal with that extension. Yes, we are extending it another 500 feet, but they are used to dealing with that particular situation. The best comment that I can make, Mr. Fox, based as I've been led to understand from our engineering division, engineering folks, is that that first section that we want to retain, the first section of the pier, is a solid piece. It's the best, very bluntly, it's probably the best constructed piece and probably would survive a storm no matter what on the rest of the issues. Right next to it is a concrete ramp that is where the motor boating goes down into, and then another smaller ramp. There's no way we could really lift that up because it would literally just run into the second ramp and also be right at where the loading area is. From past extending past there, we would have to make a design additional cost to be able to take care of those canoes in that situation. My gut reaction based on being up there, we purchased the property about a year and a half ago. I've been up there pretty much at all times of the year. I just don't see the traffic that's going to be an issue along those lines, especially those that are going to be coming around Jones Point.
Thank you very much. I think you more than answered that question. Let me see if there's any opposition, and then we can see if we have any more questions. Is there anyone in the audience opposed to this project as presented? No one in opposition? The matter is before the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Schick, and then Mr. Garrison.
I'd like to make a motion to grant this project with the conditions that were discussed as far as the shortening of the dock and adding the additional pile per section and the light at the end of the pier.
Is there a second, second. To that?
I second.
Seconded by Mr. Holland. Any further discussion to the motion?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Garrison and then Mr. Robbins.
I think this being this far up the river, with my calculation is correct, we're 18 miles above the mouth of the river, and I've lived on the mouth of the river for 40-odd years, and it gets pretty rough down there. I think the mileage up there above, that far above Abrana, would be advantageous. I would like to amend the motion, if I might, to give the Boy Scouts 30 days if these piers broke loose to clean up their debris. Also, if it broke loose, you would have exposed pilings in the river, and they'd be temporarily lighted till the pier be put back. Those two amendments I'd like to see in the motion, if you've agreed to that.
I agree to that.
I'll agree with that.
All right, the maker and the second agrees with that. You have any problem with that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Right. I have one more. I haven't finished.
Just don't blame it on me when 6 o'clock rolls around.
I just want to make one more comment. My uncle was a great philanthropist and collected a lot of money for the Boy Scouts. My brother was an Eagle Scout, and my grandson is a recent Eagle Scout. And I do like scouting.
Thank and you. He's an evangelist on the weekend.
Thank
All
you,
right, Mr. who else? Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly appreciate staff's concerns that have been raised about this project, but it seems to me that the applicant has done everything they possibly can at considerable expense to shorten the length of the pier, to add additional pilings to ensure its structural integrity, and I think they've made a good effort to address everything they could while still keeping the project intact so that it would achieve its stated purpose. In other words, they have to have, I think they've shortened it up to the minimum length necessary to allow for those deeper draft sailboats and to have the program at that place, and I think they do make a good case that It's a whole lot safer to have these scouts on campus than it is to be taking them down the street to another marina where they wouldn't be able to control the environment. So I think also we just have to look at the code in this case and look at the issue of private benefit. And I think the benefits in this case are rather extraordinary for a private project. I mean, typically a private project has rather limited benefits in terms of occasional enjoyment of boats and things like that. But in this case, you're introducing several hundred youngsters to boating for the first time probably in their lives. And I think many of them might not otherwise have that opportunity. So I think the benefits in the case are compelling.
Ready for the question?
Ready for the question.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Carried. Thank you very much. All right. The next item on the agenda is item 5, Scott Niblow. This is a review of the Norfolk Wetlands Board decision of December 14th.
Who is this young lady making this presentation? She's changed her.
This is Mrs. West.
Didn't recognize her.
No. Interesting.
Anyone here from Norfolk Wetlands Board?
Yes, sir. Give me a moment. The Wetlands Board uses different software than we do. I just have to load that up real quick. Members of the Commission, Commissioner Pruitt, the 05-2305 M. Scott Niblow before you on review of the Norfolk Wetlands Board December 14, 2005 decision to approve a permit to install a riprap revetment within jurisdictional wetlands on the property situated along the Lafayette River in Norfolk. I realize this isn't very smooth, and I apologize, but go ahead and get started.